하츠메야.
하츠메야.
You know, it's amazing to think we're in the same place as the Israelites went through. You know, as we go through this sand later on, it's not saying that, hey, this is a place that was like the place the Israelites in, or this is similar to the place the Israelites in. You can touch the same sand that they touched and walk in the same sand that they walked through. And I jokingly said to somebody yesterday as we were coming, I said, wow, well, if the Israelites had stayed in this camp, I said, at least they wouldn't have done any murmuring. But I have to correct myself. Because, you know, for Yahweh, and we see it many times in Scripture, you can see it with someone like Moses, you know, that he made a mistake and Yahweh forgave him. You see it with someone like King David, who even made a bigger mistake in sin and Yahweh forgave him. And Yahweh can always forgive an action. We're human beings, right? So at any time, at any given place, we can fall, we can sin, we can make a mistake. But what Yahweh can't forgive is if there is something in your character that just can't be changed. So if the Israelites were here, maybe they wouldn't have complained the first day about not having food or water, but they would have complained about something else. It's a character flaw. And you have to understand this. This is what comes as a believer. There's a difference between sinning in a time of weakness, and there's a difference between having a character flaw. A character flaw is something where you're just not overcoming. You're not changing. No matter what's happening, you're doing the same thing over and over again. You're doing the same sins, the same mistakes. And this is where Christianity, it's a false grace, because they think with Yahweh's mercy and His kindness that I could just keep sinning forever because Jesus loves me. And it's like, well, yeah, Yeshua loves you and Yahweh loves you, but He doesn't love your sin. And if you have this character flaw, He can't use you in the kingdom. So where Yahweh's grace is, not that He accepts you where you are and He accepts that flaw in your life, it's that He doesn't immediately kill you. That He has the patience to give us all time to change and overcome. But in the end, if we don't change and overcome, you won't be in His kingdom. And that's why it's a really scary scripture when He says to Him, when He returns, right? Not to the world, not to the evil people, not to the bad people out there, but when He returns, many will say to me, Master, Master, these are people that were followers of Him. These are people that were disciples of Him. And as you're looking at Him and ready to hug Him, He's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Because it's people that are not overcoming a character flaw. And you know what? We know our own character flaws, but we hide them to the world. We hide them to the brethren. We hide them to each other. It's very hard to do it in the community. Because in a community, when you live together every day of your life, and you eat together, and you live together, it's very hard to hide a character flaw. If it's bad, it's hard to hide it even in the congregation. But this is why we have to be looking internally for these character flaws. We can't be waiting for people to come up to us and tell us, but sometimes there's been people I dealt with for years and years and years in the congregation. And even when you're telling them, even when they got suspended, even whatever, they're just not changing. They just don't want to change because they love themselves too much. And they love themselves too much that they just have their focus on themselves and they can't get their mind off of themselves to serve in the kingdom of Yahweh, which is a kingdom of outgoing concern. It's not a kingdom of self. It's not a kingdom of me. You know, it's not about me. It's about everybody else. So I just want to go over today here a very simple principle on leadership, on being a disciple, of being a person of your word, of being able to be a person of your word. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, right? So you don't need tons of money. And a matter of fact, if you look, some of the richest people in the world don't have a good name. You know, you look at people like Bill Gates and some of these people, they have the worst name in the world. You know, a matter of fact, they get probably death threats and people hating them because they don't have a good name. But a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And one of the things that I really have been blessed with, that, like I said, for many years in Israel, when I've been blessed to go before the Knesset about 25 times or so, and to meet many, many people in government, meet many people around the world in government, leaders of countries, you know, prime ministers, foreign ministers, some of the meetings I've been invited to in Israel, some of the conferences, they're all world leaders that are there, sometimes more than 100 at a conference. And any time that I was being introduced to somebody for the first time, they'd say, you know, well, this is Don Esposito or Elder Don, or however they would introduce me. And they'd say, anything he tells you, you can rely on. And that made me feel good. I didn't tell them what to say, but that they knew that I was trustworthy. And I think that's why the only reason that the people there worked with me, because most people in government aren't trustworthy. You know, they're not. They're lackeys. They don't care what they say. They read, you know, how can a president, of course, maybe once you're reading a, you know, a speech that you're giving or you have notes, but most of these presidents, they don't write their own speeches. Can you imagine? I'm going to be president of a country, I'm giving people my word, and now I'm going to tell the people every time I speak, I'm going to give somebody else's words that are writing them for me? So it's not how good their character is, it's how good they can act. And now even in America, you know, they had Ronald Reagan was an actor, you know, as president, and now a lot of people in politics, most of them are actors. They may not be as good as an actor of Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, but they're still actors. But that's why a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. People buy into people, not causes. And I learned this a long time ago. It's not your doctrine. It's not, you know, clicking with them something in the Bible or showing them a scripture that's going to make them change. It's you. You know, you are the message. And that's what people go to. People buy into causes. People buy into people, not causes. If your reputation means nothing, then your ability to lead and witness is zero. Doesn't matter if it's true or not, they're not going to believe it because it's you. So that's why our reputation has got to be everything. It's got to be absolutely everything. We have to be trustworthy. We are the message. And many times our witness is weak because we lack credibility. You know, we just lack credibility. The people don't look at us serious. They don't believe us, and we lack credibility. Certainly not Yahweh's message because his message is perfect. If people can't trust us, we will never convict them of anything. You know. So that's why it comes down to it every single time in your life when there's a little decision to be made. You know, I know many times there's places at work, and I've had this happen to me in the past years ago, where you're working in a place where you punch a time clock or they write in the time. And even sometimes the manager will say, like, people are supposed to be there 8 o'clock, but people will come in 8:15, 8:20. Or they'll take, instead of half-hour lunch, they'll take 50 minutes, and even the manager will write in that it's only half-hour. And I would say, no. If I was 50 minutes, please write in 50 minutes. I don't want to steal money. That's stealing. You know, I'm stealing somebody's time. So, you know what? If I need to take an hour, I'll just ask for the hour, and then I'll get docked from it. You know, so, but people do it all the time. They do it every day. Sometimes lying to the managers, and sometimes with even the manager's consent, because they're all doing it. You know, it's something that they all do. Even you see police this happening with. I know where I come from in New Jersey that it's very corrupt, the police in that area. And, you know, they'll go to different places and you'll see a policeman like at a Dunkin' Donuts or something, and they're getting paid to be there. Why? Because if the Dunkin' Donuts doesn't pay that policeman, then they're going to have problems with the authorities there. So it's all corrupt, you know. But again, if our character doesn't fit the message, then we'll never convict anybody of anything. And like I always say, life is a test of our faithfulness to Yahweh. It's that simple. So everything we do, whether it's the simplest thing of, you know, he who's faithful in little is faithful in much, you know, where, you know, you go somewhere and let's say like there's tea here, you know, and we're welcome to have tea. And maybe even if you take one tea bag because, you know, to your room or something because you're unable to. That's what it's there for. But if you take 5 tea bags and 6 tea bags, you're stealing. You're stealing because that's not what it's there for. And if everyone did that, there'd be no tea left, right? So no matter what it is, you always have to be thinking about this, that every little decision you make, is it adding to your character or is it taking away from your character? You know? And it comes down to, I told someone the story recently, you know, after we had left Babylon, And we were in a place and we met a person who claimed to be Elisha the prophet. And he was actually a decent guy as far as I learned a lot of things from faith from him. And he was dedicated to what he was doing, but he wasn't Elisha the prophet. So he was letting us stay, in an apartment with him, me and Petra, because we had no money. You know, if not, we would have been, who knows, we just had no money at that time. And it came to Passover time, and we were having Passover that week, and he came in, he said he met some college students, and they're having this meeting this week, and I'm going to go with him. And I said to him, I said, Elijah, Wednesday night is the Passover. I said, I can't go. And he threw the stuff off the table, and he started screaming and yelling, it's about saving souls, and screaming like a maniac, and he walked out. And me and Petra looked at each other, and I said, Petra, we've lost everything. I gave up my money. I gave up my house. I gave up my job. I gave up my family. We lost everything. I said, so I have nothing else to lose, and I'm not going to lose my salvation over false prophet. I said, if we got to live at the beach, if we got to, you know, live outside, it doesn't make a difference. But I've come too far. I've given up too much to lose it all over this. And each of us in our life, you've given up a lot. Everyone has. And you have to think about that every moment when those little decisions come. Not the big one. Not the mark of the beast, right? Not the vaccine. Those are the easy ones to make because we're very set in our mind. I'm talking about the little decisions that come every day of our life. You know? Being honest with each other. Our word, you know? What does our word mean? These are things that happen. And, you know, like I said, life is a test, right? If Yahweh can't trust us, we're useful. We're not useful at all to him. We're useless to him. And in the 1800s in United States, and again, the Philadelphia congregation started there, you know, in the U.S. Do you know the way that the wilderness people used to preach when they would go into an area? They would go into an area and they'd start asking around, who's the most righteous person in this village? And they do it for two reasons. Because number one, they knew if that person was really righteous, they would accept the truth. But they also knew if that righteous person accepted the truth, the whole village would. And that's the way it works. When I was in Africa one time, I remember I was staying, it was in Uganda, I was staying at the Minister of Health in his home and staying with him. And there was a lot of doors opened to the president there, who's still there, Museven, I think his name is. His wife and his daughter met them. They were using my books in their congregation. But the Minister of Health, really nice guy, became a very close friend of mine. And he was telling me, he says, the next time you come, you must come to my village where I come from. It's a tiny village away where people don't have cars. They're not educated. It's where his father is. He says, you know, where his people come from. And I said to him, I said, so-and-so, what makes you think that they'll listen? He goes, he looks at me like I'm crazy. He goes, it's the truth. Of course they'll listen. It's the truth. And that's what it comes down to. You know, some of these simple people, they're simply hearing the message because it's the truth. You know, but again, you are the message. If the messenger's coming, right? Look at John the Baptist. Why did he have to live his whole life in the wilderness? Because Yahweh had to keep him away from the world. Because he had a big job. He's going to be the one to pave the road for Yeshua himself, right? So his whole life was in the wilderness. So we have to think about this for every single thing we do. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. A good name is better than good ointment, right? A good name is better than good ointment. Similar to Proverbs 22. How is your reputation? How is your reputation? Ecclesiastes 5, in verse 2. Do not be hasty with your mouth, and do not let your heart hurry to bring forth a word before Elohim. For Elohim is in heaven, and you are on the earth. On account of this, let your words be few. For the dream comes through the greatness of the task. And the voice of the fool is known by his many words, right? Where many words are, sin is not absent. There's a time to speak, there's a time to stay quiet. When you vow a vow to Elohim, do not wait to fulfill it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill that which you have vowed. And I'll never forget one time when I was in Florida. Years ago, I was doing a seminar down there, open seminar and services. And a man came up to me. He was a doctor. He was very wealthy. And he says that Yahweh inspired him to give me a very expensive car, a car that was probably worth close to $100,000. And I said, no. I said, don't say it. I said, if you want to give the car, give the car. And if you don't want to give the car, don't give the car. Because once it comes out of your mouth, you're bound now to do this. And if you don't do it now, now you're sinning before Yahweh. I never got the car. But it happens all the time. You don't know how many times people writing for a Bible. You know, if you don't have the money and you write for a Bible, we send it. We send hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Bible to prisoners that we never get 1 cent because we're not selling the Bible. But people want to justify and they write and they say, I don't have the money now and this is going on. Please send the Bible and I'll send it later. Do you know out of maybe hundreds of times that happened, maybe once somebody actually sent the money later? So let's watch what comes out of our mouth. Because whatever comes out of our mouth, we have to perform, period. You know? Because we're not saying it to man, we're saying it to Yahweh. We're saying it to Yahweh. When you vow a vow to Elohim, do not wait to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill that which you have vowed. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and fulfill it. And don't feel bad when somebody asks you something to say, you know what, let me get back to you, let me pray about it. You don't have to feel like, you know, that every time someone's asking or me that you have to do something. If you need to really pray about it, and if you're not sure if you can fulfill it, then you should say that, let me see. And I do that a lot of times. It's not that I don't want to help somebody, but I want to make sure if I give my word that I'm going to do it. So if I'm not 100% sure, I'll say, let me get back to you. Let me see if this could work out. It's better that you should not vow than you should vow and not fulfill it. Do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Do not say before the angel that it was an error. Why should Elohim be angry over your voice and destroy the work of his hands? For in the multitude of dreams, both words and vanities abound, but fear Elohim. And if you remember with Joshua and the Gibeonites, in Joshua 9, I'm not going to read that, but what happened? These people actually tricked Joshua. Remember? They made their clothes look old and they made their bread look moldy. And they even tricked him because they were afraid that they were going to kill them all. They're hearing the stories. And even though they were tricked, when Joshua and the elders made a vow to them before Yahweh that they would not harm them, they still kept that vow. Even though they were even lied to because they made that vow before Yahweh. So it shows you, in the ancient world, your word is your bond. That's what it says. Your word is your bond, you know, and we have to keep our word. King David, he writes in Psalm 15, O Yahweh, who will dwell in your tabernacle? Who shall live in your holy mountain? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor lifts up a reproach against his neighbor. In his eyes the reprobate has been despised, but he honors those who fear Yahweh. He has sworn to his own hurt, and will not change it. So it's not that we just fulfill our word when it's going to benefit us. We fulfill our word, period. Right? So sometimes somebody will give their word and then all of a sudden they're looking, oh, this is going to cost too much. You know? That I can't do that. And that's not the way it works. So I feel the same way. Like when I'm organizing the feast for people and I get a commitment from the agent of a certain price or something, it doesn't matter later whether that price wasn't good enough or the money wasn't good enough. He gave me a price already, and I gave people a price. So that's it. He's got to fulfill his word. He's got to honor the word. The same way I can't look back and say, you know something? I'm $5,000 in the hole because I didn't charge you enough. I need more money from people. I can't do that. You give your word, you follow your word, and you do it to your own hurt. And believe me, there's been times where I got hurt, you know? But it didn't matter, because if you're fulfilling your commitment to Yahweh, he's going to make up for it. He'll bless it. That's why in the Shemitah year, why you're blessed more than any other time. Because you're believing his word and you're keeping it. And you could be cursed more in the Shemitah. Like I said, it's a time of building up. It's a time of tearing down, depending on what you do. When Yeshua returns, it's not the day of joy. It's not the day of trumpet. It's the day of noise. It's a lot of noise. There's good noise and bad noise. There's people cheering and blowing trumpets and screaming, yes, he's back. And there's people screaming and yelling that are getting ready to go to the lake of fire. So that's why it's a day of clamoring. That's what Turo means. A day of clamoring, a day of noise, good and bad, depending on where you stand on there. Verse 5 of Psalm 15, what does he say? He has not given a silver at interest, nor has he taken a bribe against the innocent. he who does these things shall not be shaken forever. And we see it with COVID and things coming on here. You know, there's going to be people, like I said, most of those Nazi soldiers were not bad people. But when it came down to it, if they're commanded to harm somebody else or be harmed themselves, they're going to harm the other person. It's that simple. So to keep our reputation, you have to keep your tongue bridled. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. The book of Jacob, third chapter. Probably the best chapter in the Bible on this subject. My brothers, do not be many teachers, but know that we will receive a greater judgment. So, you know, I know in the Western world, you know, people, they yearn and they drive to get into, you know, the driver's seat. They want to be the one at the helm. They want to be the one speaking. But right here, my brothers, be not many teachers, you know, we will receive a greater judgment. Because even from here, there's times, you know, I know everybody here very well, that we might be speaking privately, and I might give you my private opinion on certain things, on certain scriptures, but unless I know 100% from Yahweh it's true, I'm not going to say it from up here, because I'm accountable before Yahweh. Be not many teachers. Our condemnation is greater, because the teacher is affecting other people, and they're affecting other people's salvation. So we got to make sure whatever we're saying from the pulpit is only what is going to be true and encourage the brethren. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, this one is a mature man, also able to subdue the whole body. Right? He's somebody that knows how to keep his mouth shut. He knows how to have discipline in what he's saying. Behold, we put bits in the mouths of the horses for them to obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships also, being so great and being driven by violent winds, they are directed by a very small rudder wherever the one steering wishes. So also the tongue is a little member, but boasts great things. Behold how a little fire sets ablaze large forests, right? Sometimes it's even innocent. We're not trying to hurt somebody or say something, but it's all happened to all of us. You say something that probably came out the wrong way, or you shouldn't have said it a certain way, and all of a sudden, wow, that little blaze starts a big fire. Now the tongue is a fire, and the world of sin is like a forest. And this very tongue, while it is among our members, can defile our entire body and rolls down like a wheel and sets on fire the course of our entire life. And in the end, it is consumed by fire. For every species of beast, both indeed birds and creeping things, sea animals, is tamed and has been tamed by the will of man. But no one is able to tame the tongue. It is an unstrainable evil full of death-dealing poisons. Unless you have the Spirit of Yahweh and you're disciplined in your life, right? We talked about this at the conference, right? In 1 Corinthians 9, you know, 24 through 27. You can't, you have to control your body. You have to get your body under subjection, and the rest of it is easy from there. But no one is able to tame the tongue. It's an unrestrainable evil full of death-dealing poison. But on the other end, the tongue can also be the greatest blessing, right? Because out of the same mouth, like he says, because cursing and blessing. So we can praise Yahweh, we can bless him, we could sing like cherubs to him, we can encourage each other, we can lift each other up, or we can tear each other down. It's the same tongue. It's just a choice of ours and the spirit that we have in there. By this we bless Yahweh, even the Father, and by this we curse men, having come into being according to the image of Elohim. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, it is not fitting for these things to be so. Does the fountain out of the same hole send forth the sweet and the bitter? My brothers, a fig tree is not able to produce olives and a vine figs. So neither can a fountain produce both salt and sweet water. Who is wise and knowing among you? Let him prove his works by his good behavior and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and contention in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This is not the wisdom coming down from heaven, but this is earthly, sensual, devilish. From where jealousy and contention are, there is confusion in every foul deed. But the wisdom from above is firstly truly perfect, then peaceable, gentle, obedient, full of mercy and of good fruits, not partial and without hypocrisy, right? Not a respect of person. Whatever is true is true, whatever is not is not. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, for the ones making peace. Praise Yahweh for that. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of the good treasure of the heart puts forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure puts forth evil things. But I say to you that every vain word, whatever men may speak, they shall give an account of it in judgment day. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. You know, I say sometimes, like, people, you look at somebody that is either blind or somebody that's deaf, and we say, oh, we feel bad, oh, they're handicapped, right? You know, the poor person, he's deaf, he can't hear. But you want to know something? A deaf person has never heard a bad word. A deaf person has never heard gossip. A deaf person has never heard Yahweh's name blasphemed. A deaf person has never heard bad music. A deaf person, in a lot of ways, he's blessed, the same as a blind person. He's never seen all the evil that we see under the, you know, the days under the sun. So, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And in a community setting, this is so vital, because in a community you're together every single day. You're together every day, you're living together, you know. And there's two ways things go. Either people are really losing themselves and submitting to the Spirit of Yahweh and encouraging and not looking like the Israelites with a spirit of murmuring and what's going on and who has more than me, but they're looking of how could I serve my neighbor as myself. It's one or the other. You can't have it both ways. And praise Yahweh, like I said, I tried community years ago. I did it several times, and it floundered very, very quickly. Unfortunately, it was with Babylonians, and I realized this is a tough thing. Praise Yahweh, though, here we have a mixture, and every one of us is a Babylonian to a degree. It doesn't matter whether you're born in the United States of Babylon or not. We all have Babylon in us to a degree because we're a part of that system. But praise Yahweh that he's calling out of people from that. And we are changing, you know, the same with me. I have a lot of things that still change, but I'm focusing on it and I'm doing it. But we need to do it, because when you're brought up and it's ingrained in you, all these things from that culture that when you were younger you thought were great, you know, that you can get anything you want and all the pleasure seeking. Then you get older and you realize, wow, man, do I wish I was born in North Korea, you know. Even if I would have been tortured and maybe dead, I know I'd be a way different person than I am today. And our strongest brethren today are in the underground congregation. You know, that's where our strongest brethren are, the ones that are literally being persecuted, some of them even being tortured, some of them even to death, because there's just something in us that under the most dire circumstances, you're going to have the most focus and grow, and the easier. And that's why Yahweh says, he tells us in Deuteronomy, when your bellies are full and after you've eaten and everything is good, then don't forget me. He's not telling us don't forget him during the bad times, because they're the times we're crying out to him. But it's during the good times. So we want to make sure that we realize that this, that as disciples of Yeshua, we have to keep our reputation. We have to keep our word. We have to be able to keep a confidence. You know, if you can't keep a confidence, not only, I tell this to elders, if you can't keep a confidence, you can't be an elder. But really, if you can't keep a confidence, you can't be a disciple of Yahweh. You're failing to him, you know. We have to be able to know when to speak, when not to speak. We have to be able to know, especially in community living, not to be sharing things, particulars about our community that people don't need to know that aren't there. And, you know, like I said, in the Western society, they just can't understand this. Why can't we tell everybody where we are and what we're doing until somebody's kids are taken away or somebody is killed? And then it's always, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And, you know, in the times we're living in, that's not enough. And I'll tell somebody to their face, I can't allow your stupidity to hurt other brethren. It's that simple. Because for somebody to say that is stupidity, that they want to know personal information about people that can be harmed and killed and have children taken away just to know it. Not that they need to, not that they're going there, not that they have anything to do with it. They just don't see why they can't. And it's stupidity. It's ignorance. It's a lack of knowledge because they haven't been in that situation. But we, now that the wilderness is here, if you haven't learned these lessons yet, you better learn them quick or you're not going to learn them at all. Because now it's really the time where these things will happen. You know, we already see it. We already see the environment and the society around us getting smaller and smaller, and it's going to get smaller than this. And we have to learn that. And if we can't hold a confidence, you won't be in a community. You'll be out on your own, and I don't know how any of us can survive on our own. That's the one thing Yahweh shows us. We need to be together. We need to be as a people. That's what His Word says. So I pray that you will pray about this. I pray that you will study it and help yourself. We're all at different spots with this, just like we're all at different spots with faith. But we need to condition ourselves with what we say, with, you know, only saying positive things, keeping our word in all circumstances. Because like I said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And all is a test, and that's what Yahweh's looking at. Yahweh bless. Hatzimaya.